Hey everyone, it's Katie. I wanted to let you know before we start this episode that this episode was actually recorded in June, and in early June at that. So some of the references and when we're talking about our relationships or singledom statuses, they are a little retro, I guess you could say, because they were recorded back in June. So keep that in mind when we're talking in this episode. I also wanted to let you know that our amazing guest, Claire Byrne, also known as Claire the Heartbreak Coach, she has an awesome, affordable online course that's launching this November. It's called How to Stop Wanting Him Back and Find Someone Better. She wanted us to stress that this course is for all genders, races, religions, and sexual orientations, despite the fact that she created it based off her own personal experiences. So I hope you check it out. I'm so excited for the launch of the course. And you can subscribe to her website at ClaireTheHeartbreakCoach.com in order to be updated for when that course actually launches. Until then, enjoy this episode with Claire, and we'll see you on the other side. Hi everyone, I'm Katie.
And I'm Tess.
And welcome to the Cool Girls Podcast.
Today we are so excited to have our guest Claire Byrne with us. After years of chasing one-too-many Mr. Wrongs, Claire Byrne parlayed her acting career into becoming a heartbreak coach. She personally coaches women one-on-one to stop wanting him or her back. Claire is also a writer for Kourtney Kardashian's lifestyle site, Poosh, and has a podcast of her own, How to Stop Wanting Him Back. You can follow her on Instagram at Claire the Heartbreak Coach and apply to her coaching at www.clairetheheartbreakcoach.com.
Hi. Welcome, Claire. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's so fun to be here with the cool girls.
Oh, well, the cool girls. We're so excited.
Where are you located, Claire? Are you in LA?
I'm actually in Santa Barbara. I just moved from LA to Santa Barbara, where my lover lives.
So were you guys doing long distance before?
Yes.
Oh, how did you guys meet?
On Bumble.
Oh, so hey. It can come true.
It can come true. But what I will say, and we'll get into this, is, you know, I mean, how many people say, I go on Bumble and everyone sucks on Bumble. I go on Hinge and everyone sucks on Hinge. Well, as a coach, my whole approach is that your thoughts create your results. And so when I really was ready to consciously call him in, I did, are we allowed to curse on this podcast?
Of course, yes. Curse away.
I did a fuck ton of thought work about who I wanted to attract and the woman that I needed to become to attract him into my life. And so really, you know, I don't think anyone listening to this should go, well, then I'm going to get back on Bumble again because Claire met the love of her life on Bumble. It's really more about your mindset and the how. It really doesn't matter. I also hear a lot of people say, I just don't want to say that I met my guy on a dating app. I just don't want that to be my love story. And I'm like, but when you find your person, you're just not going to give a shit how it happened. Like, I don't care at all how we met. I actually think it's hilarious because I was like Swiffering in my apartment in Beverly Hills to Taylor Swift. We matched.
We get that. Relatable content.
It was a Monday night. I was just like so complete Swiffering, listening to Tay. And we matched and I was like, well, who is this fresh piece of meat? Because I had definitely swiped through all of the men in LA over time and time again.
Mm-hmm. And so that becomes its own story itself. You remember the moment that you saw him and the whatever. And I think that can be just as wonderful as a story as like, I saw him from across the room, you know?
Totally.
Like my girlfriend I met on Bumble and it's, you know, it's been almost six months, I guess. We met in January when I was just home, just like in Boston for Christmas. And I was like, I'm bored. Like, I want to, I don't know.
Yes!
And then we met and now then we're doing long distance and now I got quarantined with her. But we did meet on Bumble. But the thing that I remember is when I got into her car and she looked up and she went, oh my God, you're gorgeous. And I was just like, oh,
yeah, that's you know? The moment that you remember. And I completely understand that of getting fixated on the meet cue, and it's like my mom and I talk about this all the time, and she's like, can't I just go to the grocery store and someone is in line behind me and we look at each other, and I'm like, you know what? No, I don't think.
Maybe, but when you're so attached to the how, you forget exactly about the ultimate result, right? And furthermore, when he told me he lived in Santa Barbara, I was kind of like, bleh, and I let it go.
Yeah.
And he circled back and he's like, I know we're not exactly neighbors, but I would really love to meet you in person sometime. And I was like, well, that's a lot of effort that I don't get too much in LA. Right. So, okay. Yes, for
yeah,
sure.
Don't we know that? Yeah, the LA. What was it like for you dating in LA before this?
Well, to be honest, and I talk about this a lot on my podcast and share this a lot about my journey in ending up with him, was that, as you mentioned, I was an actress. And so I'm 39 now. So throughout my 20s, I was so devoted to my acting career into my 30s. I was also teaching yoga and beginning to start this soul searching journey pre my rock bottom relationship, which unfolded mm-hmm. between 29 and 30 over the course of almost a year. But I had actually gotten my heart broken pretty badly at 28 as well, which everyone talks about the Saturn returns, right? Where, but that's a whole other episode in and of itself. But a lot of shit comes up for women at 28.
God, that makes so much sense. And it's
okay, yeah. We'll come back and we can touch on that. Or you should bring in an astrologer actually to talk about that more.
For sure.
Length. But, why I'm bringing all of that up is because I really spent so much of my adult life in feast or famine mode. And it was like some years were really lucrative financially as an actress. Some years were creatively successful, but I was rubbing dimes together to pay my rent. And I was also, my heart was just unraveling at the seams, and I kept attracting Mr. Unavailable after Mr. Unavailable. I mean, even after my rock bottom relationship, which we can get into in a moment, I still was, after 30 years old, I avoided dating for 2 years. Then I moved back to LA. That all happened in New York. And I moved to LA at the end of 2014 or 2013 and really found finally the perfect therapist for me, started doing a lot of healing work, got into a great acting class where, of course, like the cliche, like, actress on her soul searching journey. But like, I really, like, a lot of shit came up for me in that class, and I was doing some soul searching and a lot of deeper digging in my life, and the therapy was really working. And I found myself really starting to help other people in my class, and they were like, you're really good at this, you should think about doing that. And I was like, really? I still feel like I'm so fucked up. Things were starting to click, and I really was like, huh, and one thing led to the other. So my long-winded answer to this is just that I then probably, you know, 4 years ago, I became a life coach, and really only 2 years ago, I honed in on the niche as a heartbreak coach, because shocker, I was attracting all of these heartbroken people, because obviously it's like, my therapist said, it's like a cosmic referral system, like yeah. The shit that you've been through and healed, then you're gonna attract those same people. And I got my heart broken again 3 years ago by the quote unquote nice guy, which ultimately I was like, was he really a nice guy? He was just a lot nicer than the shitheads I had dated before.
Yes.
And I spent so much time really in the last couple of years leading up to meeting my boyfriend in September, really just focusing on becoming the badass businesswoman. And so I really actually hit pause. I felt like I had done a ton of healing, but I really wanted to get myself into this kind of, for lack of cheesy words or the cheesy cliche, of becoming that boss babe and just in control of my life and in control of my business and in control of my finances. So I actually intentionally hit pause for about 8 months last year from dating. And I never worried. People were like, don't you feel like you're wasting time? You're in your late 30s. And I was like, no, because my thoughts create my results. And my thoughts
love that.
Create the results of my ideal business. And with, I work with my own coaches, and they really encouraged me to focus on one thing. Because when you go all in on one thing, now for anybody who's listening, who's like, I'm broke and I'm heartbroken, I'm not saying that has to be your path. I'm just saying go all in on one thing, because how you are in one area of your life is how you are in all of your life. Even when people come to me and they say everything else in my life is perfect except for my love life, as I start coaching them, I'm like, actually, this is a little bit unhealthy with this sibling of yours or your parent or what's going on at work and how you're showing up. I just wrapped with a client a couple of months back after 6 months, and she said, I do 6 month one-on-one stints with people, but a lot of people re-up, but she was really good to go. She already found a new guy that was a lot different than when she came to me as the wounded bird. But she said, you know, on our question, you said to me, this is going to open up so much shit in your work life as well. Cause she touched on how she didn't really, she was struggling with speaking up for herself at work. And I'm like, this is going to affect you in not just your love life. This work is going to impact your whole life. And she was like, I was like, yeah, whatever. Just let me focus on my love life. I don't know what you're talking about. And now she's like, oh my God, I ask for what I need. And I like, you know, have boundaries at work. And so.
So interesting.
That's amazing. Yeah. That makes sense. So then you became a life coach after, you know, people said you're good with that. Going into heartbreak, what for you, you said you had your rock bottom relationship, and then was it the feeling of then finding yourself again that led you into want to help other people do it? Or how did it come about for you that your experience with heartbreak led into you making a career out of it?
I think even when, to be totally honest, I think I just mentioned before, I was teaching yoga while also pursuing acting. And I was just so tired of telling people to like come into Downward Dog. I found it so boring after a while. Even
though there's only so much Downward Dog you can do.
I mean, I really love yoga still, but telling people, hold it for 5 breaths, well, I was so like bored by it.
Right.
And I had a full one-on-one teaching practice in New York, and I would always just be talking to them about their problems. And I found that so much more interesting. Mm-hmm. But when I decided to invest in coach training, it was still a plan B to support my plan A, which was acting. I was still like, this is cool. And this can be a great lucrative side job. And I can also do, you know, I can do phone calls from anywhere and I can see my family and all of that. So it was still like, yes, I want to do this, but acting first. And then as I really started to deepen the work and really see the transformation that my clients were having. And then really when I got my heart broken again 3 years ago by the nice guy, I was already a coach. And I was like, I am not the broken, wounded, damaged bird that I was at 30 during my rock bottom, but this still really fucking hurts. But I'm going to show up and use these tools in the heartbreak and be the example of what's possible. And that was still very painful heartbreak for me. And it took me like 8 or 9, no, I would say almost a year to get over him. And we were only together for 4 months, but it was this intense. I'm the kind of person, my pattern is I avoid dating for a long time. And then I get back in and I'm like, I love you.
Right.
and we were just super intense. But I mean, again, upon reflecting back, he was just hot and cold behavior, totally unavailable, had broken up with every woman he had ever been with. And he was 37. Like, the writing was totally on the wall, but I was like, it's different. And so I really just went to work in a much more specific way as the coach, coaching herself. And I got a coach as well. And that is what made me go, oh, there's something here. And there's nobody talking about heartbreak in the way that I am and how to move through it. So,
and what that was is heartbreak? Oh, sorry, there's a lag there. What is heartbreak? How would you define heartbreak? And how is it from the physical feelings of heartbreak or how it looks on someone? What is heartbreak?
I think it's different for everybody, right? So I'll just say what heartbreak definitely is for me, because I can speak for myself. Yeah. For me, it is just truly, it has been the most gut-wrenching, painful experience of my life. And these are all thoughts. So remember, my whole approach is thoughts creating results. But at the time, I'll just speak in my rock bottom relationship, do feel so discarded and manipulated and dismissed and I think discarded is really the word. I mean, he was definitely, he fell under the category of a bona fide narcissistic sociopath. And for me, I obviously attracted him because of the lack of love for myself. So heartbreak isn't just about the other person leaving you, whether he's a good guy or a not so good guy. It's really about attracting your relationship with yourself. And so people would say that, and I would read the books and everyone would be like, you can't find your ideal person until you can demonstrate the love for you that you're seeking from them. And I got that on an intellectual level, but I was like, what does that mean? And I really thought like, I'm, you know, doing okay in my acting career and I've got great friends and I have a supportive family and I'm living the life in New York City and people would like love to have my life. Mm-hmm. So I was one of those people that was like, everything else is great. But really from the outside looking in, and my friends who are super smart women, they saw that I was, you know, so hard on myself as an actress, so hard on my body. I was always having drama with friends. Nothing was ever good enough. I was always struggling with money. It was high, high, high or low, low, low.
Yeah.
So I think I had such a heartbreaking relationship with myself that mentally, emotionally, and physically impacted me. And I honestly think it made me screw up so many audition opportunities as well, because I had great opportunities and some I booked, but most of them I didn't. And I know casting directors and my agents gave me chance after chance. One casting director during my rock bottom said he would not see me because I was so underweight.
Wow.
And I just let my relationship with myself, I mean, it makes my heart just break even saying that, just like, and when my agent told me that, I was like, what is he talking about? It was like, I knew I was devastated and could barely put one foot in front of the other, but I had no idea that other people could see it.
Right. Mm. And when you talk about, which Katie and I often discuss, of like this good guy versus bad guy, because you've brought that up a lot, where do you find yourself in talking to your clients, how to navigate that and how to maybe seek out the good guy? And is that a black and white box?
Definitely not.
Because I feel for myself, I'm always like, well, but he didn't cheat on me and he didn't lie to me and he didn't, you know, I make up all of these rules.
Justify it.
And then I'm like, no, but he made me feel really bad. And that just because he's not cheating doesn't mean he's this amazing Prince Charming that I should.
Yeah. You know, and do you mind me asking you, Tess, have you been cheated and lied on before?
I have not been cheated on, but I have been very manipulated. I would say that I've dealt with some emotional abuse for sure.
Yeah. And so then when you meet, like, that was like the guy who broke my heart 3 years ago. When you meet the nice guy, you know, you're just like, oh, but he's so nice. He would never do what the last dickhead did.
Exactly.
So therefore, I'm going to hold on to this because this is the best that I've got.
Right. So how do we get out of that? He's a good guy. He's a bad guy.
I don't think, I mean, and this is me contradicting myself, I don't think that it serves to label good or bad, right? Because it's still a thought. I mean, if I described all the details of what the narcissistic sociopath did to me and this other woman he was simultaneously dating, you would all be like, bad guy, right? And, you know, if the guy who I'm with now, he always is like, why do you say who I'm with now? Because we really are planning on forever.
Yeah, no, but I think like, we all naturally say that. It's scary to...
I know, I caught myself on my own podcast. I was like, I think I say, because there's still this part of me that's like, are you for real?
Oh, yeah, it's terrifying.
Totally. And so, you know, I actually was saying to him, I mean, I talk to my boyfriend about this all the time, like, if he was to come to me and say, I'm so sorry, I have fallen for someone else, and this makes me sick to my stomach to do this, but I don't think I'm doing a service to you or to myself by continuing to stay with you if I know that there's someone else my heart is pulling towards. I mean, are we all Bachelor fans or are we not?
We sure are. You came to the right place.
Right? It's like, and of course they're like, how could you? And what we had was so amazing and it's so hurtful. And I was like, I would be so mad at you, but also I could never label you a bad guy. I mean, he's been nothing but an amazing partner.
Right.
And so I would give him the label of good guy who still broke my heart. But regardless, it doesn't matter. Heartbreak is heartbreak. I would still tell you to cut contact, and you still have to like nurse your own wounds, and you still have to nurse the meaning you're making out of the person leaving.
Yes. That makes sense. I think so much of heartbreak really has to do with how communication was in the relationship and post how you handle it. Obviously, someone can be very honest and even tell you what you don't want to hear. But that communication helps so much in healing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think you were sort of, tell me where I'm wrong, Tess. I'm not trying to coach you, but another part
Please
of
do.
That. Well, ask away. That's what I'm here for. Take advantage. But I think you were also sort of alluding to like, and how do I like discern whether he is good or he isn't when I'm with him?
Right.
Because I'm hearing myself say, but he isn't lying. He isn't manipulating. He isn't cheating. And look, everybody's idea of their ideal person is going to be different. I had a client, she's newly dating someone, and she said that oh, there was something that he said to her. Oh, he's a teacher. And he was just like, you know, three tests that like anyone who I date has to get past is like, will she be approved of by my students? And will she be approved of by my family? And will she be approved of by my friends? And it's like,
oh God,
because he's a teacher and like his students love him and what they think of his girlfriend matters. And they hated his last girlfriend. And I was just like, yeah, but like, okay, but what if he has some crazy 16-year-old who has a girl crush on him, a teenage crush on him, and is like,
right. She's like, fuck that girl.
Are you going to be like, bye? Right? And she was like, I know, I thought it was weird. And I'm like, so I'm like, is that okay with you? Or do you have further questions about that? Or is he just being like cute? Because I dated, I mean, my parents knew the narcissistic sociopath was bad news, and they saw the writing on the wall, all the man children who I was dating, and they disapproved, but I was like, I don't care, I love him. Yep. And I was never going to listen to them. Like, I had to move through that on my own. And I think at the end of the day is like, you just have to trust your gut. You have to pay attention to what your mind is saying. I still have tripped up stories that I project onto my guy who's truly, and I'm getting criticized a lot because like I'm talking too much about how in love I am, but I'm not.
You deserve it, Claire.
Well, thanks, Tess. And also, I want to be an example of what's possible. Everybody who's been following my journey knows the ins and outs and the dirty details of the drama. Then they know that I really got to a place of being content, single, and mm-hmm. independent and happy and alone. And I really talked about that journey, whether I was doing the dating or whether I wasn't. And I was like, I would hope that you would want the end of the story to be, she figured right. out a way to call the right person in and she's going to show you how to do that.
Right. Like, isn't this comforting?
Yes. Now I totally get though, a heartbroken person doesn't want to hear about someone who's happy and in love. And I'm like, go to the earlier episodes, but also come back when you're ready to find him, because I know how to show you how to do that, right?
Right.
And so I always just say, like, keep your eyes wide open. And clients often come to me and they say, but my eyes were wide open, Claire. And I'm like, but let's just look back on the journey. And there were always signs. And then everybody wants to beat themselves up. I'm 39. I would have loved to have found love earlier, but I also, at the time, right? But now that I'm in this magical relationship, the last thought that I have is, oh, I just wish that I didn't meet any of those other dudes, because all of those other dudes I showed up to do the work for, right? It wasn't like, oh, all those people led me to him. No, all those people invited me to fall on my face and do mm-hmm. that much deeper digging to fall the fuck in love with myself for me to attract this partner. And he and I still have our stuff. You know, I just did a podcast episode called Heartbreak in Your Ideal Relationship. And I just moved to Santa Barbara. He's all of my friends and my boyfriend in one person. The pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement. I've got other personal stuff going on and I'm just like,
yeah.
I haven't been the best version of myself and I've projected shit onto him that has nothing to do with him. And I haven't been the best version of myself with him. And it mm-hmm. was like another opportunity for me to do the deeper digging, because it wasn't about him. It was about me. He's been nothing but patient and amazing and lovely. And he challenges me. He's like, you're picking bites and I don't like it. And I'm like, I know, sorry. Mm-hmm. But that I then do the deeper digging and the self-coaching. And I talk to my own coach to be like, well, what is this about? And what I uncovered last mm-hmm. week, and I sit here being like, I'm the heartbreak coach. I uncovered last week, and I shared that this in that episode, is that a thought came out that I still don't deserve him. That like he's just like so perfect and like all the ways, and like why would he choose me? Those old sneaky tapes that have been playing for way longer than the new tape over the last 2 years, which is you can be successful in your business, you can be successful in love simultaneously, and it can last forever. And my brain is still like, at times in high stress.
But it's great though that all of your experiences that you've had before with heartbreak and with shitty dudes and whatever has given you the groundwork, the knowledge, the experience, the whatever, to at least be self-aware and to mm-hmm. be able to trickle down and find like, oh, I still feel like this. But if this was happening, quarantine, everything was happening when you were 30.
I could have probably been suicidal. I never have been suicidal, but like, I know it was so dark. And I remember during my rock bottom, A friend of a friend did commit suicide, and I went to that funeral in the depths of my own despair, but I went to support my friend. And the sisters of the girl who killed herself said, you know, we want everyone here to know that we understand why she did it, because she felt that this world was too painful to live in. Mm. Now, again, my rock bottom ex actually told the other woman that he was dating, like, that I was like gonna hurt myself, or he alluded to the fact that I was like gonna do something to myself. That was never the case. It was a moment where I was like, I get what she means. Whereas like before, right. I never understood people. I never understood that, how deep that depression could be, that you would consider that. And then I was like, oh, I get it. But if I didn't have the tools, and it was the pandemic, and then the Black Lives Matter movement, all the guilt and shame, because I am totally that privileged white person who has Black loved ones in her life who she never really addressed the issues with. And I had my own white guilt and shame, which is a part of the problem, right? But I was like processing all of that and a heartbreak and just right. like trying to put one foot in front of the other and like pay rent. I don't know what I would have done.
Right. And yeah. that's, you know, we say that all the time, of that's why we can't regret our past relationships, you know, Amen. Our any decisions, because it brings you to a place where you can show up for yourself and be healthy for someone else that you're ultimately, you know, meant to be with. Or
And
you know.
Then when you find him or her, the work doesn't stop.
Oh,
that's
of course
the
not.
Part.
There's no happy, you know, fairy tale ending. It's a relationship is work every day. I think it is a universal, not problem, but I think a lot of women, and I speak for my, you know, myself included, we do go after somebody that might be more unattainable or challenging. Why do you think we do that with someone that might not be right for us, or we're aware it's toxic? I think of myself as an intelligent person, and I can rationalize why I'm doing something, and then the way I act is 100% opposite. But I think I like the challenge in a way.
Totally.
Do you agree with that?
I mean, I just relate. I totally, excuse me. I totally love the challenge. And even I remember like back in middle school, my friends were just like, you have really high standards. I was like in seventh grade and I was like, that hot senior.
He'll be mine by the end of the year.
Sad to tell you, it never happened. Also gross. That's like a bad age difference.
Right, right.
We That's don't support.
Not legal.
But I would rather have fantasized about the unattainable senior who is 6 years older than me than like pay attention to like the boy in my class who actually did like me and I could have actually had a relationship.
Story of my life, literally.
I feel like it's almost the opposite for me. I experienced insane heartbreak and just hurt and whatever after a 3-year relationship. It ended maybe 5 years ago, 6 mm-hmm. years ago. The next two people that I dated are people who I just did not have as much in common by. I knew they would never hurt me, though. I was not in love with them.
So you were drawn to
still
the safety.
Dated, I was drawn to the safety rather than, I feel like maybe some people like to self-sabotage. They go for someone because, like, I know I'm going to get hurt anyway, or, like, it won't work out maybe, and I know it, you know, some sort of protection there. But for me, I was drawn to the safety and just knowing that I would be the one in control. Like, I ended up breaking up with both of them.
Yeah.
They weren't going to hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we all have our own unique individual yeah. thought patterns that create the results that we either want or don't want. And I think in terms of the why, I guess I would go back, like, you could look, connect the dots from childhood or whatever, which is not, for sure. That is really the difference between coaching and therapy. And I did tons of therapy and I love therapy. And I'm not saying one is better than the other. That's just not what I do. But I'm sure you could connect dots and see, because I absolutely believe that everything that happens in your childhood does shape your patterns. You're either going to fall into the patterns or you're going to commit to doing the opposite, right?
Right.
And so I can just speak for myself. I think going for the unavailable person, right? For me personally, I mean, Tess, you and I could have a separate conversation because I don't want to be psychoanalyzing you.
No, without, I love it.
Without all of the information. But again, going back to how my whole approach is your thoughts creating your results. It's like, he's too unavailable, right? And so you turn that around on yourself. It's, I'm too unavailable. Mm-hmm. Like, if what you are saying, right, and what I said for so long is, I am ready. I do want to find my person. I'm ready. But you keep choosing unavailable men, mm-hmm. right? Then you're not ready. That's not true. You're lying to yourself.
100%. Yes. I mean, and Katie's looking at me like, geez. Claire, where were you for the past 3 years in our apartment?
I love it.
Something that I loved, because I've been there, but I'm interested to see if you have insight on why we're like this. You mentioned in your third episode of your podcast, I think, how with your rock bottom relationship, when you ended it, your parents and your friends were like, oh, you really dodged a bullet, but that hurt you and it pissed you off. Like, and I've been there where even after someone was super manipulative, abusive, I know rationally that they're not good, I still found myself defending them, or maybe defending myself because I was the one who went for that bad behavior. Or
well,
was
it's a reflection like, on you, you know? It's like, I'm in love with this person. If someone's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, thank God that's over. You're like, well, so what's that say about my taste and what I put my energy into? It feels insulting. I get that 100%.
I actually, for me, it wasn't insulted. It was just like, but I still love him. Mm. Like, I still love him. And you guys are saying he's a bullet dodge, but I know him. And if you guys knew like what we had, and like, I started blaming and shaming myself. Like, I was difficult. And like, I understand what he did. I mean, it was so fucked. And right. My parents,
if only I had done this differently, then maybe he would still want me back too.
And you know, it's like, bad when you're constantly saying to people, but you didn't know what it was like when it was just the two of us. It's like, of course, everyone has an intimate, you know, relationship beyond, you know, when you're with your friends.
And you can have an intimate relationship. You can go talk to a serial killer who's murdered 20 people in prison, and you'll still find humanity in them, and you'll still find a connection in them. Like, it doesn't mean that, you know, you could, I don't know, you can.
Exactly. But if someone's like that much of a tool around people that you love, and that maybe they don't give a shit to even try to impress them, or they're just really like, you can't find anything that likable about them in your close circle, red flag. And we've all been there, you know?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Something I think else it's that just... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you can finish. I was going to say something else that I love that you said in one of the episodes was, your work is to not need him to see your greatness. And if you need someone to think that you're great, then there's still a part of you who questions your own greatness.
Oh, it gives me the chills, really, Claire.
It actually just gave me chills. I was like, I said that?
You're like, yeah. Love my own work. But
big
no,
hair
really.
Flip.
Yeah. It was so at the end of the part about the blue hair.
Stolen from Brooke Castillo, who created one of the thought models that I teach. If someone's going to be like, you know, actually this week I just got a scathing email from a listener just tearing apart my work. And it really, like, I've gotten criticism before, and I like to use the criticism as a lesson or to improve my own skills by expressing where I'm coming from. But this one, like, really did trigger me, this one particular email, because she was like, you really helped me, but now, and then she just like listed off three things. I was just like, first of all, I did a post about it yesterday. I was like, this post isn't looking for validation, but it's twofold. One, don't be an asshole to people who are just like putting their hearts and souls out into the world.
Right.
And two, like, I'm a heartbreak coach, but like, I still have a heart.
No, totally.
But why I brought that up is even for myself, in terms of like, oh, he doesn't think I'm great. Well, I don't think I'm great. Right. Like, I really work day in and day out, and I've building this business for 4 years. And really the last 2 years, I feel like it became something totally different, going all in on the heartbreak coach and finding the perfect coach for me. It just became this baby of mine that I have loved and cared for and worked tirelessly on building and continue to. And so when she ripped that apart, I was like, but I did,
for sure,
again,
you're protective
I just,
of
like,
it.
Yeah, but I was triggered, and I was like, oh, her thoughts about me, this woman who I don't even know, I'm giving her all this power to shit on my work. And there's a little part of me that's like, oh, is it true? So I did the deeper digging on that as well. It never ends. And I think too, recently, because I've been triggered in other areas, is that because I feel so solid in my relationship now, and I've been so used to drama or feeling like in lack in my love life, and now that's so solid and abundant and amazing, and again, not 1000% perfect, but I don't strive for that. That, oh, it's like the universe is sort of going, where else can we just test how much she loves herself and thinks she's so great and all of those things, right? And it's, and I put it in this post yesterday, it's like another invitation for me to recommit to loving myself that much deeper so that I'm not rattled by some stranger who just wants to tear me apart, you know, that the work is never done with that.
Right.
And again, even still in my relationship, not that he would ever say I'm not great, but like he might say something, I'm like, oh, well, I guess that means you don't love me. He's like, what are you talking about?
That's all of us with a stranger or a partner, you know?
Yes! But it really did surprise me because I haven't been as rattled, and I just like, this one just was like sucker punch. And usually, this is amusing how they interpret it this way. Like the coach in me is like, oh, those are her thoughts about what I'm saying. And this one, I don't know, it just landed. It was just felt so personal and so mean, and that she took the time to directly tell me. I feel like the reviews on Apple Podcasts are like less personal, but she was like, oh, let me write you an email and tell you how terrible you are, despite the fact that you helped me so much heal through a breakup on your content.
Right.
Like, do you find this sort of criticism to be more difficult to handle than criticism as an actress?
Great question.
Great question, Katie. There she is. Always coming.
I would say it was harder for me at the time to get poor feedback on an audition or not book the job than where I am now, because I'm running a multiple six-figure business now doing what I love, and I know I'm really good at it deep down. And I know that the louder that I get and the bigger my platform is, this really is par for the course, in the same way for an actress, right? But maybe... I don't know. It's interesting because she's actually criticizing all of me, whereas like someone could criticize an actress's performances, but they aren't her words, right? But it's her performing the role.
Yeah.
But I think it was harder for me as an actress just because I didn't have this relationship with myself. And now it's like, even when she wrote that email to me 2 days ago, it was in response to something that I wrote that I was so proud of and believed in wholeheartedly. And I had put it on Instagram as well. And so many people were like, yes, Claire, thank you. I totally agree. You've changed my life. And then this one woman for the same post was like,
you ruined my life.
Yes. And the power that we give to the one negative review or the one negative person versus the positive. And my coach is so amazing. She's like, every review is neutral. Whether it's positive or a negative one, like your thought is it's positive. Because if you really, and again, I'm repeating myself, but if I really was just like, what is she even talking about? I am amazing. Then it wouldn't have been a problem, right? So it did, it was like a surprise sucker punch, because again, the reviews that I've gotten, it's not fun, but like I'll go over, you know, I'm always so proud of what I say on my podcast. I'm so proud of the articles that I write, and I'm proud of serving people on Instagram pretty much every day, whether, you know, you want to hop on and hear my tangents and the stories or not. Like, it's always coming from such a place of service and what I've learned and put my blood, sweat, and tears into. And I feel like as an actress, I didn't fully believe in my talent and my worth as a person or as an actress. And like, I do here, but I think this teacher who wrote me that email this week is inviting me to take it that much deeper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that relates to relationships and how we can put so much energy into someone that is a negative person to us, but we take everything they say to heart and let it affect our self-worth. And, you know, and it's the same thing with a stranger who can be like, fuck you. And, you know, or saying mean things to you or saying things that, you know, aren't serving. But that's when we really just, you know, our insecurities can come out. And
I really think, too, I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Like all of my testimonials that I ask for my clients, everyone's like, Claire's really tough.
That's great, though.
But I'm not going to be the right fit for everyone. Like, I love tough. Like, Stacey, my coach, she does not hold my hand. She does not indulge my drama. And she believes in me wholeheartedly, but she pushes me. And of course, when I have my clients sobbing and they're just completely triggered, I of course hold a gentle, loving space for them. But there comes a point where it's like, all right, let's get to it. Do you want to live your life harping over Mr. or Miss Wrong? Or do you want to start falling the fuck in love with yourself and stop letting this one person dictate your worth? Which, again, I realize I just did with that emailer.
Right. So what do you say to your clients that want to get back together with their ex and they're kind of making up excuses of like, but this time might be different, and he or she said that they promised to XYZ. What's your go-to advice for
Well, such that? A great question, because I actually started working with a woman who ultimately figured out this guy was a total narcissist, and then he resurfaced during the pandemic.
Always.
And she, yeah, and she, exactly. And she said to me, like, I am more committed to you and this work than I am to him. You know, and she was like being the good student. And I was just like, let's call her Jane. Okay. I just said, hey, Jane. You know, Jane, it sounds to me like you're really curious and you really want to give him a chance. And she was like, I do. I really do. And I really do feel like he's different. He's saying things he's never said before. And I actually called him out on all the ways that he treated me and everything. And I was like, then go for it. Like, you got to do what you got to do. I'm the coach, and I'm going to show you your mind, and I'm going to say, you know, send me all that you wrote and said to me in the beginning, and how do you feel it's different, and have you addressed it with him? And he heard her, and she was like, listen, she really, like, covered all of her bases, and she was messaging me being like, this is a different person. He's amazing. Do you have referrals for coaches? He really wants to get into coaching, too.
And then God, wait. Slow down, Jane. Slow down.
One day. And I actually was like, okay, like, because jury's out, because I also gave permission to someone else to do it, gave permission, like, I'm their mom. But I think, like, I do my coach too. Like, I'm like, I'm thinking this, but what do you think? And she's like, yeah, do it, right? But I'm never going to say don't go back to him. But I also did have a client, sorry, to wrap up that story with Jane, he totally flipped on a dime and, like, bolted and, like, broke her heart. But I was like, She said this too during, and we're still working together. You know, I had to do that one more time to get to here. And I don't regret trying. And I said to her, if you give him a chance, you do not get to beat yourself up. We don't have, get, we will, I will not indulge a shame story for giving him a second chance. Like, if this does not work out, then you know, and we move forward, and 100% never under my watch will you ever get back together with him again. That's
right.
That's like one example. But then I had another example of a client making up, breaking up. And he wasn't a bad guy. They were just like fundamentally different. And I was like, you can be with him and be happy. You can be alone and be happy. But I want you to pick one decision and go with it. And she kept going like this. And I'm like, so why are you hiring me as a coach if you're just going to go with your own thing? So it's always that's unique and different in different circumstances. And I really just hook into exactly what her thoughts are that are yielding her the result that she doesn't want.
Do you think that in general, and this is a tough question, but do you think people can change? Like Katie and I talk a lot about, and in our last episode, we asked our guest a quick question of sort of along the lines of once a cheater, always a cheater. What do you tell your clients that have maybe been cheated on and are giving them a second chance in terms of cheating?
Yeah, in terms of cheating, I think it's a great question. I for sure, like hands down, if my boyfriend, like here's the deal. Here's what I think about cheating. You know, I've never been married. I do feel like I've met the love of my life. We are so in tune with each other and we are always checking in with each other. How are you? What's going on with you? Talk to me. I can tell when he's stressed. He can tell when I'm stressed, like what's going on. We're so in tune with each other that if I found out he was cheating on me simultaneously, I'd be like, and we're done. Mm-hmm. Like 1000%, because there has been no like us asleep at the wheel, not really connecting. Like we're so connected. And again, we're 9 months in, but we talk about wanting to be committed to a honeymoon phase for life. And I really think he has his own heartbreak story. I have mine. And so we're really like, because the contrast was so dark and now we're like in this, keep it as bright as possible. But in terms of cheating overall, I don't think it has to be a deal breaker. I think about a mother and a husband and wife who are parents and they've been married for 20 years and they have 3 kids and they've just been working and they're asleep at the wheel and they kind of like are too tired to have sex. And
right.
One of them loses a parent and they shut down and they're exhausted, or maybe the kid has like special needs and they're just like all of a sudden, you know,
Yeah, life happens.
Into like their secretary, right? Like, I'm not saying that that is okay at all. I'm just saying, do I think that that could be repairable if both really want to make it repairable? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw out
it's situational and contextual.
Very much so. But also, like, I don't know if I could, and again, this is a very blanket statement to make. I think if you're like newly dating or you're engaged and you find out that he cheated, like, would you really like still walk down the aisle? Do you want to like do that much repairing with someone who you haven't even like committed your life to?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But again, to each her own, and I would never say you can't, you shouldn't. But you also, like, if you want to forgive the cheater and really give that person a chance, yes, for sure, you want to see that they're showing up, but you have to let it go. Like, that's your job. You can't have that.
Do you think there's a difference between physically cheating and emotionally cheating?
I mean, obviously, the differences speak for themselves, for sure. I think both are really bad. It's like, yeah. I'm reading texts that, like, if I'd read a text that my man was, like, telling someone how great she looked that day and how whatever, like, done. I'm done. Oh, I mean, for me personally, same. I'm fucking done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like with heartbreak, it... Do you feel like... let's see, what am I trying to say?
I'm dying. I'm on the edge of my... you look so deep in your question, Tess.
If you don't feel heartbreak during a breakup, do you think you were in love?
Yes. You could have been in love, but then you broke up because you fell out of love.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Because I definitely broke up with someone who I was in love with and then ultimately wasn't. I think it could be real. I do think people can fall out of love. I do. I also, when I fell out of love, I was with someone from when I was 16 to 24. I didn't know myself. And, you know, now I have tons of posts and footage of me shouting this love from the mountaintops. And we don't know, right? There are no guarantees. But I feel like I've done a fuck ton of work on myself and really know myself in a different way. And I'm sure, you know, I'm 39, not 49. I'll be like, oh, I really thought I knew myself at 39. Right?
Yeah.
But my boyfriend is 48 and he's had he's technically 47. I'm sure if he heard this, he would be like, excuse me.
How dare you?
He will be 48 shortly. And he's lived a very full life and had a lot of experience. And me moving here, we made the decision for me to move here 5 months into our relationship. And we just, it was like an instant connection on all the levels. And we are so clear about who we are and what we want and how we want to show up with each other. So I just feel like, if we just like fell out of love, I would feel like it was because we just stopped trying.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
That would be my theory behind it.
Definitely.
Because we want the same things. Or one of us decides, you know what? I thought I wanted a lifelong partnership. I actually don't. You know, that could be, right? Anything is possible. I just would be really surprised if that was me, because I've known since I was a little girl, I wanted that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to wrap things up, we like to do a little speed round. We're just going to ask little questions and it's really quick answers, and we can all each answer for our own personal.
Cool.
Something.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's do it.
So we'll just go and it'll be kind of like speedy. Sometimes you got to think, but it'll be speedy. Okay. So best heartbreak movie.
The Notebook.
Oh, wait. Oh God.
I mean,
is it
this
like
is full circle
to get over somebody or like,
I mean, there was a lot of heartbreak in The Notebook. I know we know how it ends, but like,
right.
I freaking sobbed my eyes out.
What movie do I want to watch just to sob? I mean, probably my go-to is Titanic or Marley and Me.
Marley and Me, amazing.
That movie makes me like vocally sob.
Yeah. Titanic does make me sob. Everything makes me cry, though, so it's hard to think of something that makes me sob because I'm, like, sad, you know?
But sometimes I really want to watch a funny movie when I'm going through it, and that would probably be, like, a Bridesmaids type
so
of film.
Good.
I'm not, like, the biggest movie... I prefer TV over film, but I, like, The Office is something that since my breakup I really love, but during it, it killed me because Pam and Jim's relationship is so pure and so beautiful that totally. I was like, why? But
I need it all the time. Yeah. Love it.
Okay, best song to listen to when you're heartbroken.
Anything by Kelly Clarkson.
Who else but the queen?
Who's now going through her, I mean, her and Adele at the tops up. I just feel like Kelly's are so empowering. Like, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
So true. So
and true. Yeah. And also, because of you. It's so like, fuck you. Oh. But also, I'm heartbroken.
Since you've been gone, too.
Since you've been gone. I mean, oh, my God. Yes.
Since you've been gone is my hand-washing song during COVID.
Oh, is it?
The chorus, yeah.
I love that.
Amazing. Amazing.
What about you, Katie?
Yeah.
Heartbreak songs.
Oh, I just love Taylor.
I know.
She's a classic.
She really is. I'd say like a lot of Bon Iver for me.
Bon Iver.
You know, just
yes.
like slow and like Skinny Love will always just.
So good. I actually, that was seriously breakup music with my like first adult heartbreak because we used to listen to Bon Iver. And now the irony is my boyfriend and I always listen. I'm like, oh, it's so funny how like change. That was like, and now I'm like, oh yeah.
I'm celebrating it.
It's like, mine's like a distant memory.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mine's Lana Del Rey through and through. I don't know why I said anything other than Lana Del Rey.
I know. I was actually like,
she has been there through every single one of her albums has come out during the time that I needed her most. Mm-hmm. Like, and it all, oh God, I love you, Lana. So should you unfollow your ex on social media?
1000% yes.
I would have to agree with that basically because most people have blocked me after a breakup. And can't say that I am really friends with anybody I've ever dated on any type of social media.
I am now. I have a couple of people who I dated now. I mean, when you initially break up.
Right.
I mean, I'm 39. I'm friends with a couple of people who I've dated, and I don't. And you
totally.
Know, yeah.
And I've like refollowed, or they've refollowed back. But at the beginning, I really have to be like, this.
Cut
is
it off. Cut you it don't. Off. It's not healthy.
It's not.
I've always just I've never unfollowed people, and then I don't know. But also, the last two people that I broke up with. Like, I didn't care. I wasn't heartbroken. I didn't care that much about it. They unfollowed me, and I was like, why would you unfollow me? Like, I'm kind of an asshole.
You broke their heart, Katie.
Yeah, Katie. I know.
I mean, literally, though.
But then the first one, like, I still have to have her blocked because, and she still tries to reach out to me once a year, and she's the one who, like, broke my heart, and I'm like, no. Nope,
5 years ago. Like, she still does this to her.
Bye. Yep. Do you block her number?
Blocked her number, and then like,
how did she reach out to you then if you blocked her?
Because then at some point I think I was feeling I wanted to like snoop, or like I was, you know, before I was completely over it. It took years to get completely over it, and so I had like unblocked it at some point. Oh, then she reached out on WhatsApp, which I hadn't. Yeah, she's all reblocked now.
Okay, great.
It's been a journey, I think, with you with the blocking. Yeah, and like, I think you've been tempted, and you know. It happens.
Well, there's always curiosity. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Could I say that I've looked? Probably not. But I mean, my random people I've dated, they pop in my brain. I'm like curious, and I could do that while I'm with my boyfriend
100%.
Because it's like genuine curiosity, but not like, oh, and I really wish. No way.
Yeah, for totally. Sure. Is breakup sex okay?
Do you see the smile on my face?
I know all of us are doing a little smirk. We're like, no, it's not.
So bad, but so good. You know what I like better than breakup sex?
What?
Fuck you sex. Go and have sex with someone else.
Oh, okay. So do you believe that it's like the best way to get over someone is to get
no,
over someone?
No, I don't. I definitely don't. You're so funny. No, I really don't. But like, I don't think it serves at all. However, I mean, I might know someone who, definitely not me. You know, over the years, I'm like, oh, town, and why not? Because like, I need to get my needs met. We know exactly what this is. I don't condone breakup sex, like in the same way, like you would stay in contact right after breaking up. Don't go have sex with them right after breaking up. But like, if it's all water under the bridge and you're single and he's single and you just like want to get your needs met and you see each other sometime, why not? I'd rather get my needs met from someone who like I know than
for
like
sure. And you're on the same page and no one's hopefully going to get
as long as clear. It's actually not going to just mess you up even more, right?
Right. Like, we've all said that.
You have to be savvy with yourself 100%. Yeah. And don't do it too often, because then you're fooling yourself into thinking that, you know, oh, this is like super casual. I had that with an ex, and it, you know, we randomly throughout the years would have little rendezvous, and it would be like, bye, afterwards. Like, seriously, it was so clean.
But that's great if it can be.
And I did an article, I'm so glad my mom's not listening to this. I did an article on, speaking of TMI, and unsubscribing my dad from my subscriber list, but I did an article on Poosh, Friends with Benefits, and I was like, it is totally possible. And I got so much hate being like, no. And
because right, everyone's like, it broke my heart, actually, but
yeah, and
good
I'm like,
for
don't
you.
Don't be an idiot. If you have feelings for him, do not have sex with him. I knew I did not have feelings, and I was like, but, you know, that part was pretty good, so why not? And if you're on, I'm on board.
Right, but it's so tempting for the, like, I've done that far too many times. I've been like, it's just friendly. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, now I'm really upset that they're not texting me. And
so let's say you do it with someone, and you're like, oh my God, now I'm like thinking about him, and I'm feeling this pull. You also get to manage your mind around that. Having sex with a person is a neutral circumstance, and you get to think all the thoughts that shaming and blaming yourself, and now I'm back in love with him, and now I've regressed and all this shit. Don't do that. Just be like, oh, wow. Okay. That happened. Now I know how I feel after. I feel like shit. Now I'm seeing that my brain wants more. So I'm not going to do that again. Just live and learn. Don't spend your time beating yourself up about shouldn't, you know, all of that, because it's just, life is too short, and then go fuck someone else.
Love that. Why do you think sometimes, though, you like forget? Do you ever, you know, you get really heartbroken, and then like a couple weeks go by and you're like, no, I wasn't that heartbroken. Let's just do it again. You know, like sometimes we forget.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, this is where I go back to, this is a great question. This is where I go back to the weight loss analogy. Oh my God, I just lost 10 pounds. I can totally have that piece of cake that turns into the whole cake. Right. So you really, and people say this, my clients, I have one client, she came to me and she was like, I'm going to do all the things. Let's wash this man right out of my hair. And she was just so ready to date again. She was so ready to date, like, please, can I start dating? And I was like, you need to take a break, girl. And I was like, and the break isn't just for the sake of taking a break. It's to do the mindset work.
Right.
And in the same way that, like, I shared on my recent episode called Heartbreak in Your Ideal Relationship, I was like, I've, like, kind of not been a cool person to my boyfriend 3 times. It turned into 4. And after the 4th time, and I wasn't a crazy bitch, but I just was not my best self, and I hated it. And he's such a love. And then he looks like at me like, why would you like assume this or whatever? You know, he's just such a peacemaker.
Bless him.
And so it's just like, oh, you know, if I'm just going to be like, oh, Claire, get your shit together. Just don't snap at him again. And just like tell myself that, it's not going to work. And I like had to dig deeper and look at my shit and be like, where is this coming from?
Right,
because the only asshole in this situation is me. So do the work and don't get too confident. So he doesn't know this, and he's probably not going to listen. Don't take it personally, but he's probably not going to listen.
Offended deeply. Podcast.
And if he starts to listen, he won't make it this far. He'll be like, babe, I already know all this stuff. But I decided, I was like, Claire, for 30 days, can you just love the fuck out of him and just be your best self? And can you, every time your brain starts to go, I don't like that, right? Can you just breathe through it?
Challenge yourself.
Yeah. And then I was like, and then another coach friend of mine said, well, how are you going to implement this 30 days? Because it's not like you just say, like, I'm just going to count the 30 days. And so I was like, every time I'm going to set an intention before I see him, because I'm always so excited to see him. And then like four times to be exact, something happens and it lands on me weird. And I just shut down and I behave like a little kid. And so the same with heartbreak, or the same with if you're quitting drinking for 30 days or whatever it is, it's just like, don't get too confident. If it was so visceral not too long ago, just be like, don't, like, just catch on to your brain. because always be sneaky in the most random moments that you least expect, where you and maybe the other person is like, where did that come from? The brain doesn't lie.
That's very true.
Amen.
So stay committed and vigilant. And especially if it happens a few times, it's like, okay, there's something going on that's sneaky in my brain that I'm not really bringing to the surface.
And now let's get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
What is a mantra that has helped you get over heartbreak? If it's a quote, just something that you need to repeat to yourself, something to meditate on, is there anything that stands out to you as a constant mantra?
Whatever happens, I can handle. Whatever happens, I can handle. Whatever happens, I can handle. Because the brain, when we're heartbroken and terrified, is just like, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is too hard. This is too painful. I can't. Yep. I can't. And I was like, yes, you can. Like, I have been through some fucking shit in this lifetime, and it will suck if this happens again, but I will handle it.
And we always,
whatever happens, I will handle it.
And we always get through it, you know? It seems like the worst thing to be heartbroken in the moment. And we can all look back on our past relationships and multiple times of heartbreak. And you're like, you know what? That was a horrible 3 months. That was a horrible 3 years.
Yeah.
And now, you might not think about it. It doesn't make you have that feeling in your stomach. It's like we all get stronger and life goes on.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Claire.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you. Congrats on your new relationship.
I'm happy for both of you. One day. Tess, one day people will be happy for me.
Tess, listen to my podcast. The more recent ones are like the titles, you'll know. Like,
okay, I need to. I'm going to sit down and.
Yeah.
There's a glass of wine.
And put pen to.
It's really good.
I would love to. And I need it, you know. And obviously you have created such a wonderful career for yourself, Claire, and I'm so happy for you. I just love that you're helping women, you know, end toxic cycles or just being there for whatever they need, and I think that's amazing.
Thank you so much. You guys, thank you so much for having me. Congrats on the launch of this podcast.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited for you guys.
Thanks, Claire. And once again, you can follow Claire at Claire the Heartbreak Coach. And her website is www.clairetheheartbreakcoach.com.
And Claire is spelt with an I.
And an E.
And an E.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much, Claire.
I'm just so complicated.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Cool Girls. Please rate, review, and subscribe. And you can follow us at Cool Girls Podcast. Visit our website at coolgirlspodcast.com. And we will see you next time. XOXO, Cool Girls. Say to my face.